Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
I like to have my sermon written by Tuesday. It just helps everything going. And I got to Wednesday afternoon and was having just no luck. Nothing was gelling. And so I took a walk Wednesday afternoon, and I was trying to clear my head, and I was listening to some churches that I stream and I try to be encouraged with. And I was listening to a pastor preach on a specific message, and all of a sudden the scripture just jumped out at me. And I wanted to do something that was kind of breaking a rule. So you're not supposed to use a sermon to just address, one of the rules they teach is don't use a sermon to address a specific person or group of people. That's just a rule that you don't break. And yet today, I feel like I'm going to break it. Now, some people are really nervous right now. There's some people who are saying, oh, okay, don't spit your coffee out. It's not like that. Today, I want to specifically address the class of 2020. Okay, I want to talk to you guys, and I know that might be bending a rule, but I bet if we all of our church family, if we listen, there are going to be some things that God may say to us as well along the way. And so if you will, church family, grant me a little leeway today, I'd appreciate that. I'm very saddened that we couldn't have baccalaureate this year. And so for the class of 2020, here at First Christian Church, we have seven high school graduates within our church family that have kind of grown up here within the church family, and we're blessed to have them. You know, Sharice Anderson, what a brilliant young lady, such a great, stellar academic career. She's got great things coming ahead of her. Abigail Cox, she's so athletic and talented and such a hard worker. Curtis Johnson, I can't think of Curtis without seeing a smile on his face and that calm way he has in all his FFA work, and how his involvement there is such a blessing. Sammy Johnson. Sammy's quiet, but my heavens, she's talented. She's an amazing artistic talent. She's just begun to get a little bit of recognition for that. And boy, she's got a bright future ahead as well. Tucker Koonsman, you know, a whale of an athlete and a scholar as well. What a bless out there in Griggsville. Lauren Sachs. Lauren's my leader. Lauren, she's an FFA, been really, really involved and held office there in FFA. And then, of course, my daughter, Lainey. Of course, I'm partial to her. She's a blessing and so talented in so many different ways. What a beautiful young lady. And it's 2020. This was supposed to be your year. I mean, this was supposed to be the awesome year. It was leap year. You got that extra day. Valentine's Day was supposed to land on a Friday, and it did. Cinco de Mayo fell on Taco Tuesday. It was all set up. This was going to be your year. And then it happened. I saw a meme that kind of sums up 2020. It's basically sliding down, and the end of a slide is a grader. It kind of feels like that. It kind of felt like everything started off well. And of course, we as a church family are so sorry for the very real things that you have lost out on. And no one is going to try to downplay the significance and the importance of these benchmark events and moments in your life, which should have been the culmination of your high school career. But in true baccalaureate fashion, I want to offer some counsel, and my son's going to laugh at me. Yes, I have 3 points of counsel for you today, and it's for all of us, really, because I love you. And I've grown up watching you grow up here within the church family. I mean, having been here 15 years, I've had a great time watching your lives play out. We've experienced some amazing things together, especially those of you who've been part of youth group. I'm going to miss our chats down here in the front pew, and just sometimes we would take the lesson and we throw the lesson out and we just have a heart to heart. We'd share some things. We've gone through some times of pain. We've gone through some rough transitions within the church, and yet you've held on to the Lord, and I want to commend you for that. You know, we've experienced some really crazy things. You know, being in this sanctuary in the dark, playing persecuted church, hearing Rodney. Yeah, we've bonded on some pretty crazy ways there, gang. But I want you to know, disappointment, it's very real. And disappointment, unfortunately, it is a part of life. But I need you to know that disappointment, as much as we don't like it and it hurts, it's a valuable part of life. Now, I want to take us to the Gospel of John chapter 11, to a very familiar story. We all know it. It's a wonderful story. But if we look a little deeply, I bet we're going to find some truths that are not only going to help us this year as you navigate a season of disappointment, but also the rest of your life. And maybe disappointment can actually turn in to victory. So, John chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Mary and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. Okay, so again, set it up. Mary and Martha, they have this brother Lazarus. He's ill. They send word to Jesus. And Jesus' response is kind of like, hey, don't worry about it. This isn't that serious. It's kind of like how you could take it. It's like, look, this illness doesn't lead to death, okay? But then he says something in verse 5 and 6 that we read right over. It just kind of is like, huh? Okay, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So how did Jesus feel about Martha? He loved her. How did Jesus feel about Mary? He loved her. How did Jesus feel about Lazarus? He loved him. And didn't they send word that there was something very serious going on with the condition of their brother? And implied in this request is, hey, Jesus, here's somebody whom you love. Shouldn't you come and intervene? I mean, that's what's kept here. They said, hey, he's ill. Come on. We need you. We need you to come here. Please do something. This is important. You see, my church family, class of 2020, those of us who've been along this journey here, who've been begging God to heal COVID-19 and prayed and asked in faith, and we do continue to do so, and we should, and we will. It's easy for us to kind of interpret what has happened in these past few weeks, especially those of you who've lost so many opportunities, to say that somehow God doesn't love me. You know, these things would have worked out. Jesus, if you would have answered our prayers, you know, way back in March, if you'd have just answered our prayers, we'd be having our graduation now. We'd be getting ready to go. We wouldn't have had all these things that happened, all these inconveniences. We have to reconcile something here, gang. Did Jesus love Lazarus? Yes, Jesus loved Lazarus. Well, what do we do when Jesus says that he loves us, God says that he loves us, and we ask him and we beg him to intercede on a situation that's important to us, and nothing seems to happen? Or even worse, I mean, look in verse 6. He says this. So Jesus, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, okay, so Jesus knew that he was ill. He is omniscient, right? So he knew that this was a serious illness. He said he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Huh? Wait a minute. Jesus loves me. And because he loves me, when I ask him to do something, he's supposed to get right on that, right? Let's go on, because I know we've got some tension here, and I want to kind of push into this tension a little bit. So after saying these things, let's jump down to verse 11. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, okay? But they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. but let us go to him. So a couple things. I got 3 points for you today. And the first point is a very, very, very important one. And it's one that I know that in the past 2 months, you probably have felt challenged. I know probably a lot of us have. Especially if you know a dear one who has fallen ill, or if your life has been affected by this pandemic, which I think all of our lives have, but certainly yours has been to a large degree. Here's the first point, and man, you better hold on to this as an anchor. Jesus loves us through it all. It doesn't mean that he leads us away. It means that he loves us through. And that doesn't mean that that Jesus does not love you when tough times come. Just because tough times come doesn't mean Jesus doesn't love you. But just when you ask for things and they seem to be delayed, they don't happen in your time, or even if the opposite happens, does not mean that Jesus doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that God's not in your corner. And I know it's hard for us to somehow grasp that, but let's be real. Many people prayed for graduation to happen. Many people prayed for your sports season to happen. Many people prayed for you to be able to have your final concert, your final convention, all these benchmark banners. And I know some of you are like, please don't remind us of them. Here's what I want to remind you, is not to run away from them, but know that God loves you in the midst. And we're going to see how much he loves us in the midst. We really asked. We really hoped. What does it mean that now it looks like we're at the end? Did God let us down? Now, some of you are thinking, why in the world would you ask a question like this? What a downer. It's not a downer at all. This is a key to understanding how we get through life with a foundation anchored in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus doesn't love to disappoint. Jesus loves the disappointed. You need to get that, gang. It is so easy to equate God's love with earthly comfort and earthly desires. But this is not our final eternal home, gang. It is absolutely not. Don't make the mistake of saying that God doesn't like me because blank did not happen or blank did happen. God loves us on a level far beyond any of those things. The truth is, and this is important, gang, God loves you through the good times, and he loves you through the tough times. Remember our scripture here today, that for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future. That message was sent to people in captivity. Even in your captivity, even in lockdown, God has plans for you. And his plans are to give you hope and to give you a future. He's got plans for you far beyond COVID-19, far beyond whatever's happening here. And so what I want to encourage you to do is find Christ in your crisis. Find Christ in your crisis. There are going to be times of success and victory in your life, and I want you to know that God loves you in the midst of those times. And there's going to be tough times as well. Don't miss the point that God loves you. God loved Lazarus. Jesus loved Lazarus, and Lazarus died. Jesus loved Mary and Martha, but he didn't move in their timing. And Jesus loves you, but it doesn't necessarily move in our timing. Now, I'm sorry that this has been such a roller coaster, but please don't miss out on the divine truth that Jesus loves, that he still loves you, and this time, in fact, does have a purpose. Remember what he said to the disciples? Remember what he's saying to all of them? Look, there's a reason all this is happening. Not that he created it. Hang on here. Not that he created it. The reason Lazarus died, the reason that he fell ill, is because we live in a fallen world. The reason that we have a pandemic is because we live in a fallen world. That's why there's pestilences. Jesus didn't say, how can I mess with the Saukies senior year and I'm going to just cook something up in my kitchen and chuck it down to Pike Tucky and then sit back and watch? That's not what happened. But what he did is say, in my foreknowledge of understanding everything that's going in and this pandemic hit, I'm going to use it in the lives of all. Everything you go through has purpose. Let's jump ahead in the story here, because Jesus is, I'm going to go a little bit out of order, and I want to kind of go down to Jesus coming to the tomb here. So verse 38 says, then Jesus moved, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. If you have a Bible, I want you to kind of circle that, underline that. Take away the stone. Okay? Jesus said they needed to take away the stone. And then look at Martha's response here. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days. There's some very interesting words here. First of all, this is kind of gross. It's kind of gross. It's that many of us, we understand that he'd been dead 4 days, and the body was going to stink, okay? This is what she's saying. This situation smells. This situation is rough. And yet Jesus, don't miss this. Jesus wants into your rough, stinky situation. He doesn't want you to keep a stone in front of it and keep you away from it. He wants to be in that. He does. You got to understand, they have a little bit of an attitude with Jesus, just like a lot of us do. You know, look, I'm not immune from this. Yeah, our family's not. We've been affected. Some of we had planned a 25th anniversary. Big deal, but there are people who have real problems. Yes, but it's easy, and I got to admit to you, as I've said before, I kind of got an attitude. I was like, come on! I don't plan big vacations like this often, and here I plan a big, I needed this time away, I needed this time of rest, and then all of a sudden it's gone, and we throw a pity party with God. Mary and Martha kind of did the same thing. Jesus shows up, Martha goes and says, Jesus, you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. I don't know the direct vocal inflections that were used there, but you know what? I can kind of read that both of them kind of have the same thing. They say this: if you would have been here, he would be alive. You know what? For us, sometimes situations hurt us, and we get offended, and we have an offense. If we're going to be honest, we get an offense with God. So many people just won't be honest with God. It's okay to be honest with God. And you know what he says? This is what Jesus says when we go to him and we kind of have an attitude. He says this: how about this? How about we roll away the stone? And what I don't want to happen to the class of 2020 is to put a stone over 2020 and say, that was gone, that is dead, this is long away. No, 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 no. Yes, the situation stinks. And Jesus wants in. Some of you have situations in your life. You prayed. And it didn't work out the way that we wanted. Lord, don't let me have the doctor's report. Lord, don't let this. Lord, and it happens. And we have an offense. We're like, Jesus, why weren't you there? What Jesus is saying is, look, roll the stone away. You see, in verse 33 through 36, we see something really powerful. We're going to back up just a little bit. When Jesus saw her weeping, he sees Mary weeping. He says, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping. Look what Jesus said. Look what it says here. He was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Obviously, do you really think that Jesus didn't know where they laid him? Again, anytime Jesus asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He wants us to take him to that place. Verse 35, you want to learn a Bible verse today? John 11:35, Jesus wept. You memorize it. Good for you. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. You see, guys, sometimes Jesus wants us to be near to him when we go through hard times. He hurts when we hurt, but he has a purpose through it all. And sometimes his tears in the midst of my crisis are because I fail to understand how much he loves me in the midst of our situation. So my second point for you today is this: don't keep Jesus away from your hurt. Don't keep him away from your hurt. It's easy to do that when we kind of blame him for all this stuff. It is. He wants to roll the stone away and draw near to that which we hide from Him. That's what He wants to do. May I remind you, a prophecy about Jesus that in Isaiah 53:4 it says, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His stripes we are healed. Gang, listen to the next verse. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. What all of these say is that He wants to carry our burdens. He wants to bear our grief. He wants to carry our sorrows. That doesn't happen unless we roll the stone away. He wants to carry your sorrows, gang. Now the great news as we conclude our message here today is that you know what happens. and see, that's the great thing about looking ahead. So I know that you say, I'm not willing to say, that 2020, the year ended as a failure. No, I'm not willing to say that because the God that I worship is a God who redeems. I've got to tell you, there have been seasons of immense disappointment in my life. Okay? And they have led me to greater purpose. Okay, opening up a chapter of my life. The entire reason that I am in ministry is out of failure. I had gone, I was singing professionally, and everything crashed in around me. Everything crashed in around me. And out of failure, and out of being manipulated, and out of being all kinds of things that happened, my dreams were all dashed. And out of the ashes of that, God made something beautiful. Never been more content, never been more challenged, never been more fulfilled. I would have never found God's calling for my life without going through a season of being incredibly disappointed, disillusioned, mad, frustrated. Guys, I'm praying that same revelation happens for you, because the God that I know blows my mind, and He's going to blow your mind as well. He blew the mind of Mary and Martha, because they were sitting here saying, this is the end, this is the end, game over, Jesus, you missed the boat. Don't you think Mary and Martha were saying the same thing? It's too late. And some of you are saying, it's too late, the year's over, we're going to walk across the stage in an empty gymnasium in a couple days, it's all over. And I'm telling you, it's not all over. God is going to do some amazing things. Look at John 11:41. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard me. Past tense. I knew, past tense, that You always hear me. That's interesting tense there. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that You sent me. When He had said these things, He cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Woo! Are you willing to let Him roll away the stone that so many of us have put in front of this whole blah, 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 cheese grater slide year? Are we willing to let Him push the stone away and see how God is going to do something far beyond anything that you ever thought He could do in this situation? How about that? I want to tell you, it's not too late for God to use this situation for His glory. Then you got to roll the stone away and let Him in, though. 2020, I believe that God wants to do some powerful things in your class. I believe that He has given you a divine time out. You see, I go back just a couple years, and I think of my son Eli in his senior year, second semester. You know what? His mom and I never saw him. Never. It was like busy, 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 busy. I guess he still lives here. He eats our food, takes our gas, uses our car, beds there. Never saw. And you know what? Again, our society has been going in a very, very tragic direction for some time, and we have been losing the moorings of what life is really about. Don't miss the bigger picture that maybe, just maybe, you guys, class of 2020, this event is supposed to happen in your life to allow you not to run the same rat race that the generations before you have set up. Maybe you've been given a divine timeout to reprioritize and to reassess what success means and what it means to walk through seeing God redeem your times. You can say, I've been cursed, and I know it's been frustrating. I'm not minimizing that. Please, please, please don't think I'm minimizing. But don't miss that there have been some blessings as well. And again, it's rough. Please don't think I'm minimizing the trouble that this pestilence has. But what I'm trying to say is there have also been some powerful things as well, if you allow God to touch your eyes. Which brings me to my last thought, and I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and come up. And this is going to be a curveball here. John 12, 9 through 11. When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him. So let me set this up. Lazarus, he was raised from the dead. The news spread. Jesus was getting ready to go into Jerusalem with a triumphal entry. And we get this big plot twist. The large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, okay, coming into Jerusalem. They came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans. But what happens here? To put Lazarus to death as well. Where's that? Jesus just raised him? This is like a Monty Python movie, okay? They're going to bring him up and they're going to knock him down again because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Here's the great prophetic word that I believe I have for class of 2020. If you let God roll the stone away, many will believe. If you let Jesus re-identify your failure into victory. This can be a testimony on the goodness of God and his abilities to sustain. Here's my final point. Looking at Lazarus, this is not the last tough time you'll face. Lazarus just had a miracle in his life, and now, you know, we read this and we think it's like a couple years later. No, couple days that we're seeing this happen. This is not the last tough time you'll face. The children of Israel were coming into the promised land, and as they were crossing the Jordan River, a miracle was happening. The Jordan River was parted, and they crossed over, and Joshua told them, as you're walking across this riverbed that's been dried up, I want you to take a stone. 12 stones were to be taken as memorials from the riverbed. I don't want you to forget this time. You need to remember that God does miracles in your life, and his faithfulness and steadfast love today are the strength that you're going to need for tomorrow. We forget this, gang. God showed up and he redefined the boundaries that we set upon him. I promise you that he can turn defeat into victory, and he does so many times. But I am called to take a stone from the parted river and hold it as a memorial so I do not forget and so that I can share what he's doing. Class of 2020 and my church family, I don't know how God is going to use these hard times that you face, but I do know that he will use them. And I need you to know how much he loves you in the midst. Don't let Satan steal that truth. Let him near to your painful situations, both now and as you go through the remainder of your life. Sometimes Jesus wants to sit next to you and weep with you so that he can blow your mind with his power to remove the boundaries that we place on him. And don't forget those times. Take a stone with you. Take a stone with you to remember his faithfulness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I praise you and I thank you for your word to us today. I thank you for your amazing grace. I thank you, God, for your greatness that's revealed to us even in times that are frustrating and they confound us. So God, I pray for those who are in times of transition now, that you would anoint their eyes, that each one of us would remember your great love for us. And in remembering that love, we would put our trust in you. We would let you close to the painful areas of our life. And God, remember the memorials that you give us as strength for the future to come. I pray a special blessing on the class of 2020. I pray that you would anoint their eyes and move upon their dreams and bring their destinies in line with your purpose for their lives. And I pray this blessing, and as a church family, we bless them. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.